Welcome to an inspirational message by Pastor Harold Weiss, Senior Pastor at Little Falls Christian Center.
Wow, wow, you can take your seats. Isn't that a beautiful morning of worship? And so many people in church, and I think today, tonight is going to be a mass, gigantic, I don't even know what to call it tonight. We'll pray, and we're gonna top the end of the prayer event with some heavy praise psalms, like Jehoshaphat did when they went out to battle, and we have won the war. Can you say amen? Amen. Give the Lord a praise offering, everybody, right now. Amen. Now, you know that every Hebrew letter spells. Is actually a picture of something. And this is the earliest language, and the belief is that the prophet Enoch quoted 5 times in the Bible, and much of what he wrote is requoted by other authors in the Bible and re-said, so to speak, so re-spoken, and much of what he said, he did quite a contribution. And I personally still think that he should have been part his book, the Book of Enoch, in the Bible. It's in the Ethiopian Bible. And so that being the case, this here, I'm going to play you a little piece now. This here is my favorite one. This is my real favorite one. Remember I showed you a bigger one the other day? This is my travel job. Yirianiki is a lakarianiki. Don't tell Maud about this, okay? She must not know anything about this. But there is the first letter of the Hebrew alphabet. It's tiny. Can I show you on that side? You just see it? You see the ox there? And if I turn it around, you see what the original letter actually looked like. And then at the bottom there, it tells you what it actually means in a smaller letter. But just like when you travel on an aircraft, you just go through these cards all the time. Because what is important is that, I like this one. Let me take this one out. Let me just take this one. Amen, I tell you. This one is the Hebrew letter Resh. And guess what that means? It means the King of Glory, the Prince of Peace. See? And so you see the king with his crown. And so by using this, each letter is shaped in a specific way, particularly in its original form. It's shaped, you can't see that far, don't worry. I wouldn't be able to see that far either. But the thing is that these letters are profound. They also have numbers. Each of them have got a number with them. This one's number happened to be 200. The one I just taken out here happens to be 200. And so you add up the number, and the each number in turn also has a meaning. The Bible is full of numerics. So by constructing the total sum of a number, you, for example, get to 666, the Antichrist. And so you look at the storm in Japan at the moment, and you take the pictographic analysis, and guess what it says? Guess what it says? A consuming flood shall come in as by command of the prince, the king. All right? Against the place of dwelling, and life will be cut short for many because of that. Because they play on the Sabbath. Therefore, the might of the storm is on the Sabbath. And what it says, and funny enough, if you read it from right to left or left to right, it gives you the same story. This is what it says. So may God spare innocent people that know not better, because there's a lot of idolatry in Japan. And when they had the opening event, I was actually a little upset because of all the spirits and things that they were calling up and so on, but there's what one spirit, and that's the Holy Spirit. And there's only one God, and that is God the Father. And there's only one who can save. His name is Jesus. Let's take a look at a pictographic analysis of the word pray.
Here's a message from C.J. Lovick, author of the widely popular Living Word in 3D series. Watch as he unfolds a mystery hidden just under the surface.
The dictionary defines prayer as offering devout petitions, praise, and thanks. According to the dictionary, those petitions can be made to God or any other object of worship. The foregoing dictionary definition of prayer is distinguished from the biblical view of prayer in one major point. Biblical prayer has as its object God the Father and no other. All other prayers, according to the scriptures, are futile and offensive to the only true God. The first use of the Hebrew word translated pray with God as the object of that prayer can be found in Genesis 27. There we find God talking to Pharaoh, who has taken Abraham's wife as a concubine. Now therefore restore the man his wife, for he is a prophet, and he shall pray for thee, and thou shalt live. The Hebrew word prayer demonstrates the authenticity of the pictographic Hebrew language that underpins the conventional meaning of the word pray. The word for pray is spelled with two Hebrew letters, pei and lamed. The first thing we notice is that lamed is used twice. Repeating something twice in the Hebrew gives the word, or whatever is being repeated, great importance. Pei, the first letter in the Hebrew word pray, is pictured as a mouth, and it means to speak. Lamed, the second and third letter in the Hebrew word pray, is a picture of a shepherd's staff, and it means the voice of authority. So what is the pictorial meaning of pray? We might say it's to speak with your tongue to the voice of authority, but a more literal translation of the picture would accentuate the double lamed in order to convey the concept that you're praying to the ultimate authority. There is none higher, and God commands that none lower than himself be prayed to. Obedience to this simple command would put an end to almost all pagan religions, including some that falsely claim to be Christian. This precludes prayers to anyone or anything that is not the ultimate authority, including idols, demons, angels, and even saints. God and God alone is the object of true prayer. Jesus told us that when we pray, to address our prayers to our Heavenly Father and no one else. The picture meaning reveals the true purpose and meaning of the word pray. But it does leave us with a couple questions. How do our prayers to the Heavenly Father become authoritative? What energizes those prayers and gives them power and gives us confidence that the prayers will be answered? If you sent a letter without putting it in an envelope or sealing it with a stamp, what do you think would happen to your correspondence? The answer is that nothing would happen. The letter would go unread and returned to you. Prayers to Almighty God are no different. They require a covering envelope and a seal or a stamp that guarantees the message will arrive and be read. The only envelope that is sanctioned in the courts of heaven and covers the prayers of the saints of God is distinctive from all other envelopes and is immediately recognized by the Heavenly Father. It is crimson blood red, and the stamp affixed to it is the seal of the Holy Spirit. Unless your sins have been atoned for by the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ and all your transgressions cleansed by the blood of Yeshua, your prayers will not be heard or answered. Unless you have been sealed by the Holy Spirit, the proof that God has begun a work that leads to everlasting life and eternal life in your heart, then your prayers will never reach the ears of the Heavenly Father. There's one exception to this legal principle that is practiced in the courts of heaven, and it's simply this. The Lord listens and hears the prayers of sinners that genuinely and sincerely seek Him. He hears the prayers of repentance that come from the heart that confess and repent. He hears the prayers of those that humbly request that He will reveal Himself to them. You will know when that prayer is answered when you know that Yeshua was sent from heaven to save you from your sins. The first prayer that any sinner prays that is heard by the Heavenly Father is the prayer of confession that Yeshua is Lord of all and the Savior of sinners just like you and me.
There are literally hundreds of precious mysteries found in the ancient Hebrew. To learn more about this word and other Hebrew words, subscribe to livingwordin3d.com and we'll send you a new word every week.
Give the Lord a praise offering. Amen. You know, God is so good to us. And you can see why I'm saying this power in these letters. And why you could spend hours and hours just running through these are prayer cards, flashcards of the Hebrew alphabet. And every one of those letters, when you read the Hebrew, then you say, wow, without even knowing the language, you read what is being said, what they speak about. And so you get into the habit of catching out all the consonants, like in the case of that typhoon, which is the same name as hurricane, but it's just in the east, it's called a typhoon. And you think that people die and honor the Sabbath, says the Lord. Give the Lord a praise offering. The Sabbath is a day in which God rested and set apart as a holy time. A time that is dedicated to Him. And He says, if you honor my Sabbath, I will cause you to ride on the heights, over the heights of the mountains, on the clouds of glory. In fact, you can read all about that in the book of Isaiah, chapter number 55. It was given to me in a vision in the night. The whole chapter was just quoted to me verbatim from beginning to end. But it comes there that if you honor the Sabbath, then you will know that God will cause you to go to new dimensions. So people dishonor the Sabbath. They go with their sport and they go with world sport. They couldn't care. They have no God. They're without God, without hope. In a place of supreme and severe paganism, how many Christians are there? I know some Christians. I know missionaries that are there. And I see nations, and I think we need to pray for these nations. America is one. Britain is another one. Of course, Israel, always the Middle East, and we look at what goes on there. That's quite a remarkable thing. I can actually speak a lot about that from Ezekiel chapter number 37 on concerning Israel right now, and also Zechariah chapter number 12. We can talk about Israel in this context, but all of it is speaking to us. We are living in a time where we cannot afford. It's like tithing. There are certain things that you cannot afford not to do. Tithing is the thing that the Lord knows. I tell you now, I'd rather die than not give my tithe. That's the way I feel about that. Because I need Him at any day, at any moment, I need His help. And God just keeps on providing from sources that you didn't even expect. The other thing that you can never live without, of course, is knowledge of the Word of God. Because knowing the Word of God intimately is knowing Jesus, because He is the Word. And so when Satan spoke to Him during the temptation, Matthew chapter number 4, He spoke to the Word, and it was the Word that answered Him. And the Word is directly, as the Targum, which is the Aramaic Bible, says, the ancient Targum says, and God spoke, and so He willed it into manifestation. I love that whole rendition in the Targum of the actual creation of the whole sequence of the creation. Now, every time it says, and then He willed it into manifestation, and He saw it, and He saw that it was good. So we know that the will of God comes in straight away. Everywhere you go, you find Jesus on these pages. And I'm fascinated. Now, if we neglect the Word, and then the other thing is prayer. And I needed to show you that so you just get a picture, because many people don't even know about these things. And so I just played you that by C.J. Lovick, and a specialist in ancient Hebrew. And so I just think it is so very powerful. It brings you to a place when anything you see, any name you see, every word you hear, it's like it works with me. It works very fast. While the person says, I would say, what is your name? And when I see their name, the first thing that happens to me is I would take their name and throw it into Hebrew by the consonants. And then just remember this, that Hebrew is written from right to left, not from left to right. You say, why are they so upside down? No, who was the first to write? So who went wrong since Babylon? So that being that. Now, I want to spend this morning on preparation because of tonight's prayer event, I think, is so important. Maybe I should remind you of the Lord Jesus, where it says, deep in the night, he went out to a lone place, a lonely place, where he spent the night in prayer. He spent the night in prayer. Now, deep in the night, early in the morning, he rose early and spent the time with the Father in prayer. Everything has, as this pictograph explains, God is the ultimate target. So we go to the Father through Yeshua or Jesus, in the name of Jesus. By the blood covenant, we have access into the throne of grace. What is grace? Now, you remember from my previous session when I did the same thing with grace. It's beautiful where it talks about a place which is behind a gate, that is where there is a place of safety and seclusion. It's like a sanctified area where you are like in paradise and God surrounds you with favor as with a shield. And everywhere you look, everything falls into place. It's the grace of God. We come boldly to the throne room of grace. When God gives us grace, then we move into that dimension. But at the same time, we know that we must always remember that grace teaches us to abstain from worldly lusts and all the forms of the works of the flesh and live a holy, that word holy, kadosh in Hebrew means to be separated from that which is evil. If you cannot control yourself, your own vessel, how do you control anything around you? Well, in order to contain your own vessel, I personally think that the most important thing that Jesus, perhaps one of the most important things certainly that he taught us, was the royal prayer, Our Father which art in heaven. Avenu, Shema Shemai, Kadesh, Shimcha. And that whole prayer there, Tamoma Chukai, Seret Sumcha, Shema Shemai, Ken Ba'aish, where he speaks the prayer that all of us should pray every day, the royal prayer. He spoke it and he willed it. So when you say, lead us not into temptation, but deliver us. Remember now, the Hebrew verb is, it's not noun-based, it's verb-driven. So you always focus in Hebrew. You read, and Jesus spoke in Hebrew, Aramaic, that always the emphasis on the verb, and lead us not, but deliver us from the evil one. So the word deliver becomes very powerful. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and glory. In other words, with him is the power, the ability. He is able, the book of Jude, to keep us from stumbling. Psalm 51, 10, create in me a clean heart, O Lord, and renew a steadfast. A steadfast, consistent spirit within me. You know, I go through many years and I see where people come short. And the worst of all is I know why they come short. And the worst of all is I know that if I give them my opinion, they will not listen to me. And then I've given some my opinion, they didn't listen. And I sort of hold my hands to my head and I know the crash is coming and it comes. So what does it profit a man if you're only a hearer but not a doer? If he says, you shall honor my Sabbath. And you look at some worldly idol, or some worldly idol attracts you away. I say, it's to get to God, to be faithful to God, to be loyal, that's wholehearted, with God, whom you cannot see, which then makes loyalty to your fellow man and love to your fellow man easy. If your first love is by your will, connected to God's will, and there is a connection that you will to love him wholeheartedly, then you shall pray. And before you have prayed, you will see the answer. This past year, I've seen that happen to me many, many times. Still want to pray for something and it's already happened. I want to say to you all today that the one thing we cannot afford is not to tithe. The other one is not to read the Word of God. The other one is not to pray. Now, I want you to imagine, because imagine is very powerful. Imagination is extremely powerful. But if you picture it in with factuality, then you understand where it comes from. Einstein said, imagination is more powerful than intellect. And I agree with him. He says, because imagination goes all the way around the world. It even goes to the vast ends of the universe. Fascinating. And I want you to know that, needless for me, but you can just take it from me, no question. I have no question. I've gone too deep here to know anything else. That God Almighty, everything from the moment that God said in Genesis chapter number 1, from 1 verse 1, 2, 3, and so it goes on where he begins to, in the beginning God created the heavens and the earth was without form and void, and the Spirit of God is hovering over the face of the waters, and the Lord said, let there be light. And when he spoke about the or, which is light, how that he willed it into its manifestation. So the first thing in all of creation that went everywhere is light. Yet the sun and the moon and the stars only started shining on the fourth day of creation. So what light was going out that fast? It was God's own light, that in him was the light, and the light was the life of man. Everything's life is dependent on the life of God. You know, even the trees have got such a most incredible system within them. I think that in the Lowveld, you know, I love to go in to be in a place of peace, like in the Krugerdash Park. You know, listen to this. Even the trees communicate with each other. Do you know that? Some people will not know that. Let me give you an example. In the trees, there are certain animals, like the giraffe. In its description, in its Latin description, the name means the walking leopard, okay? Which means he's got the spots of a leopard, but he's walking and he's tall, the description in Latin. So the giraffe eats at a certain height, right? Now, the trees, there are trees in the Lowveld that, when one of the trees are being eaten, it immediately shoots out a certain type of pollen. That pollen goes to the other trees and all their leaves drop, as if they're dead. How's that? How's that? The trees warn other trees. How's that? Give the Lord a praise offering. Amen. And it's just like, it said, Lord, you're so mighty. Now, all of this that happened, what I found in my research was that the meticulousness, moreover, the preciseness of God for me is profoundly, ultimately, absolutely stunning. Everything that happened in creation was timed to the last fractional second. Everything happened like that. So the total sum of creating your present day reality. God calls the end from the beginning. Now, all of those things that happened, like for example, we did that at university at one of the courses I did, was when the fullness of time had come, God sent his son, born of a virgin. That's Jesus. When the fullness of time, there was a specific time when the Son of God was manifest in the flesh. There is a specific time with a father when the go-ahead is sanctioned and he will fetch the church. And that's very close now. I said that's very close now. Very, very, very close now. I mean, even the Jews, with their limited insight from the Holy Spirit, except God, of course, would manifest. I see many of the Orthodox Jews are talking about, discussing among each other, they are saying that the Mashiach is coming, and they are prophesying that he's coming, and they're walking around, and there are some of these rabbis that are saying it's the Messiah according to the scriptures, according to the Torah, which is the word of the light or the instruction or the teaching of the light, which is the word Torah. According to that, the Messiah must happen. Deuteronomy 18, 15 to 20, where it says, there will come one after me. That's after Moses. There will be a prophet. And whoever does not listen to him, his soul shall be completely cut off. God speaking there to Moses. So if we look at this and we say, all right, so now I look at the numerics of Scripture, I look at the various interplay of it, I look at mathematics of the Bible, I look at all of these things, I get to one place clearly that we are right at the end of time. This is called, the young people are now called Generation Z, Lot, or Generation Z, as the Americans would say. That's where we are. Yet people are mindless, clueless, ignorant, in other words, lacking knowledge, and they would rather go and run out there and play rugby out there and do anything else out there and find themselves playing rugby and the church is gone. Thou shalt honor the Lord thy God. 6 days will you labor, but on the seventh day is the day of the Lord. Are you listening to me? The Shabbat. And so they go on, carry on, carrying on. And I don't want to stimulate you, but just look at which countries are playing which countries and were affected by the storm. Just think about them and think of what happened in the history of those countries. Just think about that. I'm not going to get there. All right. When you analyze these things and you see the amount of witchcraft involved, okay, when you see the amount of witchcraft, then you know why they're swimming when they're playing. Now, if Jesus Christ said, when you pray, say, Avenu Shema Shemai, our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. When you see him going to pray, how is it then in the preciseness of God that any man, even woman, even child would not be praying at a time when prayer is the vital subject? Now I want to make another statement. If I look at the entire Bible and I scan through it like that, which I can do right now off this platform and give you comment on each of those chapters of the books as we go on. If I scan through the Bible, then I see a prevailing theme. If I focus in on the life of Jesus, I see the presence all the time of prayer. Even at the tomb of Lazarus, he looks up and says, Father, I thank you that you've heard me. Then he acts. After the prayer comes the power and the miracles take place. Now, with that being said, you've got to love people, you've got to have compassion on the people, but But the moment he walks up there at the tomb of Lazarus, being in that tomb so many times, he looks up and says, Father, I thank you that you've heard me. Even now, at this hour, just before he was going to be crucified, you've heard me. Every time the repentant heart goes to God and prays is when God answers. Okay. All of these happenings of the since the beginning of the creation to now, you were in the picture. Your present day reality is the soul to soul, the sum total of everything in the past that happened, including your own decisions. How do you do the correct decisions without praying? Oh, Pastor Harold, give me a prophecy. No. On your knees, do your homework. Do your God work, should I rather say. Get on your knees and pray. And you'll get every answer that you need. Well, Pastor, I still didn't get an answer. Did you fast with it? Did you drink water? Stay off food until you've got your answer. No, Pastor, but you know, you can give me a prophetic word. I'll give you a prophetic nothing. I'll tell you to go home and pray. Can you say amen? Amen. Some people need that. Give the Lord a praise offering right now. Amen. Jesus, I quote from Matthew 7:7, from the Amplified. He said, ask and keep on asking and it will be given to you. Keep seeking and you will find. Keep on knocking reverently and the door will be opened to you. For everyone, Amplified Bible, who keeps on asking receives, and he who keeps on seeking finds, and to him who keeps on knocking the door will be opened. Let's stop there. In our nation, to be very honest with you, and I'm not talking about you, when I go out and I find myself in the streets, I sometimes find myself in conversations with people. They're so negative, even a camera full negative would reject them. They can't even be used for that. Because it's so negative that if you do not watch yourself, it's contagious. It's terrible. Right now, there's human trafficking going on. Not only in South Africa, worldwide. Right now, there's xenophobia going on. Right now, the curse of racial hatred, which is irrelevant in the kingdom of God, does not exist in the kingdom of God. That is roaring along the road, happy, happy, like a big truck with many trailers and like the 28-wheelers that you find in the United States, those huge, long trucks and with the huge trucks in front that pull them. It just roars happily, happily, happily down the highway. This thing called racial, it's completed. Hatred. He who hates, walks in darkness, cannot see where he goes. People cannot go into a conversation. I absolutely am tormented in the depth of my soul when I hear people getting into racism. I really, really, really suffer. And it's like, stop. Don't you see? Our country is so full of people that are so loaded with potential. In the day that this country says, let's take hands, sort out this ESCOM thing. Come on, everybody that's got the talent, the ability, let's get on the road, get this thing sorted out. We will have no electric problem within 1 year. It'll all be renewed. Can you say amen? Where are the people that can do it? Now, there's, along with that, there is sexual immorality, perversiveness, perversion. Along with that, there is an economic crisis. Along with that, there's the threat of a downgrading of the economy by Moody's, that we become junk status. Along with that, there are gangs in the Cape. Along with that, there are gangs in Gauteng. Somebody said GP means gangster paradise. Along with that, people are killing each other. People are trying to take children away. There's been a big court case about one of those things. Along with that, there are lying, cheating, corrupt people in leadership positions right across the country, everywhere. Shall I go on? Along with all of that, the road rules are being ignored. Don't have to go very far to find out about that one. People going through red robots making U-turns where you can't make U-turns. One guy flying down the highway on the wrong side. Highway, I say, the one Pretoria-Johannesburg double highway. Coming back against the stream. On the highway from Pretoria towards Krugersdorp, that side of the road, and people are coming at 120 kilometers towards him. Along with that, you have the main target at the moment is housebreaking. Along with that, there goes a desperate plea from my heart, Church of God nationwide, will you please join me in prayer that everybody can get blessed? Shout hallelujah! Hallelujah. Shout hallelujah. Hallelujah! Listen, not a single miracle takes place if somebody somewhere with a humble and a repentant and a pure heart, the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus, true Kedoshim, holy person, calls upon the name of the Lord and say, Lord, stop this. Tell me about one miracle that you have seen that there were not prayer preceding it. But I want my finances better. Oh, you know what? I'm just wanting to buy something I don't really need. You know, I think. Oh, Ned, I should laugh again. You know, I want to go to Cape Town for December. And I need the money of my tithing to go to Cape Town for December. Tomorrow, such a person finds out he's just lost his job when he gets back. Tomorrow, things begin to go wrong everywhere. Hort Viet, you're rather close there. If you don't obey this book, why do you come to church? Why are you if you don't do what this book says? God is love. Is that right, my brother over there? God is love. He loves you intensely. He's called the heavenly bridegroom. Cleet Stephas, have you ever seen one miracle without prayer? Not one. Tiens Blom, have you seen a miracle without prayer? Yanni, have you seen a person's life change without prayer? George, please tell me now. Does anybody's anything happen supernaturally for him without prayer? Turin, Louis Biergeman, verjaardag man. Happy birthday, Louis. Did you just stand for a moment? Everybody just give him a clap of it. Just come on. Stand. Because I'm going to ask him a question. No, stand. Louis, from the back, let me hear you. Did you ever see anything happen miraculously without prayer? No. Come on, give the Lord. Did any of you see miracle signs and wonders without somebody praying? How many of you were born again and saved because of your mother or your father? Pray. So, my time is up for the morning. And I say to you, this land will not change. And I'm not waiting, with all due respect, for anybody else of any other church. This is the oven that God has chosen for this event. This nation will not change if we don't say, here am I, Lord. I'm ready to have this thing used in honor of you. Can you say amen? Or do you think, and I'll close with you this thought, do you think we're going to have a wonderful rain season without even prayer? I'll close then. Let's stand up. And I say to you, from this platform, somebody on my staff said to me, Pastor Harold, your words are weighty. They're heavy. I say, I decree a good rain season over the entire summer rain season. Yes, 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 yes. In Jesus' name. Come on, give the Lord a praise offering right now. Shout hallelujah. Shout hallelujah. Shout hallelujah. And for those of you that heard me this morning and heard this book, I'll see you here tonight. And may it also be the turning point in your personal life from here on, which you pray for the rest of your life. Amen. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God the Father, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you now and forevermore. The Lord bless you and keep you, protect you. The Lord lift up his countenance over you. Be.
For more teachings like this and other material, please visit our website at www.littlefallsonline.com.